shepherd, come and feed us, for we need you, your strength from day to day. There's no
every Sunday. And I tell you, the icing on the cake is always Debbie, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
We love you. Thank you, too. Gary, thank you for those kind words, my friend. Thank you. You're a friendly guy, too, Gary. That goes, he who has friends must show himself friendly. 1 Peter chapter 1 in your Bibles, that's over toward the end of the New Testament, almost to the book of Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1, we are digging through the scripture and what's called exegesis. And what that means is this. We're digging down into the Bible to see what the Bible says to us, not eisegesis, which is what we would say to the Bible. Let me explain what I mean. In other words, we need God's word to speak to us. We don't need to have our opinion on the Bible, because there are a lot of opinions, right? A lot of opinions on the Bible. It's not really a matter what this theologian thinks or that theologian thinks or this person thinks or that thinks. What does God say? What does God say to us clearly? And that's when you dig into the Bible and you dig down deep and you pull out those things that are very, very powerful. Now, Barry, I'm a little bit hoarse this morning, so I'm going to need a little more volume, if you don't mind, sir. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, where we read verses 1 through 17. And this is where we're at in this study of 1 Peter. And then we're going to see what the Lord has for us today as we look at the truths of these scriptures. To the pilgrims of the dispersion, I'm reading New King James Version. Not sure what yours is, but to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, that's the Old Testament prophets. It was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels desire to look into. Therefore, the King James Version says, wherefore, therefore, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, be you also holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear or in reverence. If you were Peter, living in the first century, and you were going to write a letter to people who were suffering in many different ways. Now, you got to understand this. In the first century, the average life expectancy for a male was 40 years. So if you were going to get your life completed and do what you needed to do and your bucket list completed, you had about 35 to 40 years to do it. And that's why that many of the great conquerors at that time, Alexander the Great was 20 when he had basically conquered the world. Many of the great conquerors and many of the great leaders of these days were very, very young men according to our standards. And so you're writing to people. Now, when you say the life expectancy for a male in the first century, the time of Christ, the writing of the Bible, was about 40 years, then what you're actually saying is there are a lot of things that can kill you and kill you quick. When you're living at a time when there's no Med Express, there's no emergency room, there's no Baxter Regional Hospital, there's no modern medical technology, the diseases that were killing people in those days are the same diseases that kill people today. Plus, you're living as these people who were dispersed, who were scattered. Often they were living in makeshift shelters and they were foraging for their food because their livelihood had been taken away from them. And you're going to write them a letter. What are you going to say to them? What are you going to say to these people? Now, Peter was a fisherman, and Peter was not educated according to the Pharisees, but Peter was a brilliant man, and Peter was a strong leader. And the next slide, we've been reflecting on this picture of Peter, and if you'll bring the lights down, Rich, for just a moment, we've been reflecting on this picture from John chapter 20 when he's pulling in the net with the 153 big fish in it. He's already denied that he knew the Lord, and the Lord has appeared after his resurrection to Peter, and now the Lord is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and they've been fishing all night, haven't caught anything. Jesus says, throw your nets on the other side, and they pull in 153 whoppers, keepers. Look at Peter, he's pulling that net in. He knows how to pull that net in, doesn't he? Look at that guy. But he's got one eye on Jesus, thinking, Jesus, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with me? The one who has failed you, disappointed you. The time when you needed me the most, I ran out on you. What are you going to do with me? You guys just saying, gentle shepherd. At this time, Jesus has a shore lunch. He cooks fish, hush puppies. And they're sitting there eating. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Shepherd, feed my sheep. Jesus, the great shepherd, was commissioning Peter to be the shepherd over many people who needed his word of encouragement and who needed Peter to be that tool of the Holy Spirit to give them what they needed at this time of their life. Now, I woke up, like I said, 3:30. It would have been Saturday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, 3:30 in the morning. I couldn't get 1 Peter off my mind. Because I'm thinking, these people, while their situation is different than ours, okay? They were primarily Jewish Christians. Most of them were, Christianity was born in Judaism. You understand that Jesus was a Jew, and the 12 disciples were Jews, and the first converts in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost were primarily Jewish people. And so as Jewish people, they were under the dominion of the Roman Empire, which was pressuring them at all times. But you add to that, they were Jewish Christians. And as Christians, they were not only under the dominion of the Roman Empire, they were under the decimation of the Roman Empire's persecution. Nero, living in the time of Peter, blamed Christians for the burning of Rome. And Nero had ordered intense persecution against Christians. So the pressure came because they were Jews, and the pressure came even more because they were Christians. And that's why this word dispersion is talked about, or scattering. They were scattered because they were being persecuted. They were living a very, very difficult life. So I woke up, I'm thinking, God, What are you saying to these people, and how does it relate to us today? Now, we'll all go out and get in a car. Depending on the temperature, we'll turn on the air conditioner or the heater. Depending on your wife's temperature, you'll turn on the air conditioner or the heater. And then we'll go to a nice restaurant, or we'll go home and open a refrigerator where there is food preserved for us. And we'll go to the microwave, we'll go to the oven, or we'll go and we'll prepare something to eat. And we'll sit down in our nice, comfortable recliner, and we'll watch golf, or we'll watch the World Series, if you're spiritual. And and we'll have a roof over our head. And so we're not going through what they were going through, but oh yes, we are. Oh yes, we are. Because here the Bible talks about many different kinds of trials and troubles. And there's a common denominator of humanity, and that common denominator is we're all waiting on the Lord. We are all going through something. Everyone here is going through maybe a different kind of pressure. But it's the pressure of loneliness, it's the pressure of disappointment, it's the pressure of being depressed, it's the pressure of disappointment, it's the pressure of failure, it's the pressure of disease, it's the pressure of losing your mate, it's the pressure of being single, it's the pressure of worrying about your kids, it's the pressure of your grandkids having difficulties, it's the problems in the country. It's the brokenness in the country. It's the fragmented life that we live. It's that inability to find that quiet place. You know what I did when I walked out at 3:30 on Saturday morning? I knew that there was a full moon, nearly a full moon. And so I walked out on my back deck, and I looked up, her back deck, and I looked up, and there was the moon shining through the fog of the White River, and it had just a beautiful, brilliant white circle around the moon. I just lifted my hands to heaven. I said, "Oh God, if you could hang that moon in place, there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you." So what do you say to people who are going through what these brothers and sisters of ours? Now, folks, this is our heritage. This is our ancestry. These people that Peter was writing to were our brothers and sisters. And because this writing is by the Holy Spirit, it applies to us with as much power, import, and strength as it did to them. So what did he say to them? Now listen, don't try to write this down. I'm not going to read fast, but I'm going to go through the things that Peter is saying to these people. And then I want you to know that in four places here on the platform, I have these notes for you. And then out in the lobby, I think the ushers are prepared, Kevin and the ushers, to distribute these as you go out today. I didn't want you to be distracted. I just want you to think and reflect on what Peter said to them and see how this applies to your life today. So in verse 1, here's what he said. He said, "We have heard the good news from those God has sent to us to give us the good news. We know that this world is not our home, and we have been scattered and broken by life." In verse 2, we learn that we have been chosen by God our Father. We have been set apart by God, and we are known as Christians. We are covered by the blood of Jesus, our obedient Savior. We have received grace and mercy multiplied to us. In verse 3, we learn that we have the privilege of praising God our Father. We have been born again by His overflowing mercy. We have a living hope. We receive the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus. Think about that. In verse 4, we learned that we have an inheritance in heaven reserved for us. We have an inheritance that does not depreciate or decay. In verse 5, we learn that we are kept by the power of God, that we are saved by faith, and folks, we're safe all the way through Judgment Day. Praise God. That's our eternal security slide. Thank God we're saved by what He has done, not what we can do. In verse 6, we learn that we can rejoice even though we're going through many different kinds of trials and problems. We can still rejoice. That's good. In verse 7, we see a purpose in our suffering. Only a Christian can say that. We see a purpose in our suffering because we know our faith is being purified by the pains of life. In verse 8, we learn that we know Jesus is coming, and we will see Him. Amen. Perhaps today. We learn that we have the privilege of loving God, and we possess a joy that is indescribable, just like almond joy, right? Indescribably good. Remember? That's their phrase. We possess a joy that is indescribable. We have the promise of God in verse 9 that our faith ends in the salvation of our soul. Amen? Amen. Verse 10, we own a salvation that the prophets searched carefully. Now, why is this important? When Peter is writing to these people, it's about 30 years after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the New Testament is not completed. And they had the Old Testament. And it was very important for him to show these Jewish Christian believers that everything the New Testament is saying is proven and based on the prophets of the Old Testament. And so it all connects. When Annette became a Christian, she has said this to so many people that see her Star of David. You're Jewish? Oh, yes, I'm Jewish. But I'm a Christian. And when I became a Christian, I did not discard my Jewishness. I simply became a completed Jew. And that's what Peter is saying to these Jewish believers. Now look, when you're not discarding the Old Testament, oh no, to the contrary. The Old Testament spoke of Jesus. The Old Testament talked about His sufferings. And He is the Messiah. And so you need to understand that what we are giving you through the Holy Spirit is simply the revelation of what the Old Testament prophets long to understand and spoke of prophetically. We see it in reality. And Peter can say, by the way, I've seen Him. He's alive. I've seen Him. He's alive. Continuing this, in verse 11, he said, we have the testimony of the Old Testament prophets that has been proven true in exact detail, showing us their predictions were given by the Holy Spirit. They predicted He'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They predicted that He would live a sinless life. They predicted that He would die on the cross. They predicted that He would be the suffering servant. They predicted that He would atone for the sins of His people. They predicted that giving His life on the cross and His blood is the atonement, that He would be buried in a borrowed tomb. And they predicted that the third day He would rise again. And Daniel even predicted, if you study it carefully, the prophet Daniel predicted the exact day of His death. So these Jewish people were reminded, cling firmly to your faith when you're going through hard times. Hang on, don't throw in the towel. We receive the glory of God through the sufferings of Jesus. We have been served, verse 12. By the way, back to that one. The glory of God. Do you know why Jews don't go camping? Annette, we're not campers. Because they camped for 40 years. And they got it out of their system. So Jerry, every Jew I know camps out at the Holiday Inn or the Ritz-Carlton. But they knew something about the glory of God because they saw the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day, and they saw that glory of God enter Solomon's temple into the Holy of Holies when the temple was dedicated in Jerusalem. Do you have goosebumps like I have goosebumps? And now Peter is saying to them that you are the vessel of the glory of God through the sufferings of Jesus. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Connects it all, doesn't it? Verse 12, we have been served by the Old Testament prophets. We have been in the New Testament day because we have received the good news of salvation through the preaching of the apostles, which is the same message as that of the Old Testament prophets. We have a message sent down from heaven through the Holy Spirit. God has spoken through the Bible. We have a message from God. We are the focus of God's plan of salvation that the angels desire to understand. You see, in this time, there were many Eastern religions that were saying we should worship angels in this time in the first century. And Peter was saying, no. No, you don't worship the angels. You, my friend, as a human being, created in the image of God, You are the focus of God's salvation and God's eternal plan of redemption. And don't worship the angels, because even the angels desire to understand all this. Wherefore? Wherefore, he says, get a handle on your thought life. Through your suffering, don't get bitter, get better. Get a handle on your thought life. Think clearly. Hope to the end. Never throw in the towel. The anchor holds. Hang in there. See the grace coming to you when Jesus returns. Be obedient to God. Live out your changed life, this matter of holiness. Live out on the outside what God has done on the inside. Be Christ-like in all that you do. Call on your Father for help. Know that every wrong will be made right. Keep moving forward, knowing that God is in control. Last night, Annette was reading the mail while I was watching the World Series. And she brought me a little card from Bill Nazarenko. And we prayed for the Nazarenko family. And we're going to continue to pray for them, because who knew Judy would go to heaven like that? And for those of you who don't know, Judy Nazarenko baked thousands of loaves of bread that were being distributed to newcomers by our Young at Heart Ministries. Robert and Judy, thank you. And you're all you folks who go out, thank you. So you moved to this area, you would probably get fresh baked bread from Judy Nazarenko's oven. You know, usually the husband dies before the wife. You notice that? There are more widows than widowers. And I don't know what it's hard for men. It's hard for men. Not that it's not hard for women, Mama. It's hard. Very, very hard. But there's something extreme about when a man loses his wife. Bill sent us this card. It's been less than 2 weeks since Judy died. He said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to keep making Judy's bread. And so he said, last night I talked to him, and he said, I dropped off 11 loaves on Monday or Tuesday. He said, they weren't very pretty, but I'm going to get better. Keep moving forward, knowing that God is in control. We're going to pray today. Dave and Debbie Hussey, I wear y'all out, but I need you to come up here with me. Okay? And Debbie, I want you to give this praise report. And then Betty Scout and our ladies who are going to Peru, I need y'all to come stand right over here, if you will. Betty Scout and our ladies who are going to Peru. And then Gary and Kim, I want you to stand over here. Okay? I want you to stand over here. No, you stand there. You stand there. So if you ladies would just gather over here for a minute, because we're about to have prayer time. I want to start with a testimony. And Gary, you and Kim will need a microphone, because we want to hear about Elisa. Okay? I want to start with what Eileen told you, Debbie, last night, if you'll tell us. I don't know if I've got that on it. Let me see, Debbie. There we go. It's a blue mic, Barry. Yeah, see if it. Would you let her use your mic, Gary?
Yeah,
you bet. There we go.
Okay, so last night Eileen said that Craig had had his eyes open for a couple of hours, which has been good because he's been out most of the time. She said, I get so tired of the doctors coming in every day over and over. They say, give me a thumbs up or show me two fingers or do something, and he doesn't respond. She said, so I just got in his face, and she said I'd move, and his eyes followed where he moved or where she moved. And she said, and I'd rub someplace he didn't have tubes. And she said, I just got down on his face, and I said, pucker up and give me a kiss. And he did. And she was so excited. She said, I did it over and over and over again. And he did. So,
well, wait, when they were clapping, tell the rest of that.
She said that she did it over and over and over again.
They
she was so excited.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and so they did. They've removed the ventilator and put a trach in and put a feeding tube in his stomach. So that's why he was able to move his mouth, I guess, also now. But she appreciates all your prayers. And you can feel those prayers. When you're in that room, you can just feel the prayers that being lifted up for him. And it's working. God is good.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You would not believe how many phone calls and texts I get. If y'all just stay down here, David, for a minute, about Alyssa and what you guys are dealing with. Can you tell us how to pray, please?
Yeah. Well, the symptoms look bad. And she was sent home about 3 weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, with the doctor saying there's nothing else they can do. But we will stand in faith for her healing. And just talked yesterday with her family, and not tomorrow, but Monday, a week from now, she's going to come up and stay with us for a week. And we're going to do some alternative treatments, and we're going to try to build her faith. And we want the prayers of the people of the Lord to surround her while she's at our house, and to build her faith so that she continues to believe that God can heal her, and he can. Every single day at the show, we sing, "This is a healing place." And we're singing it for her and for one of our other guitar players who's dealing with another cancer situation. And so when you think about Alyssa, just pray that in spite of the symptoms, that she continues just like the angels told her. I told you that story a couple of weeks ago, maybe, to have faith and hope, and to believe that God is working. And just pray that when she's with us next week, that there'll be a special anointing that can fill her and sustain her and help her to continue to fight and know that by his stripes she is healed.
And I don't know if the church knows this or not, but I really am moved that they were planning on, Gary Jr. was planning on asking her to marry him before she was diagnosed with this aggressive cancer.
He had just told her 1 week before this all happened. She said, do you think this is the one? And he said, yeah, Mom, this is the one.
And so, I don't know if you know or not, but Gary Jr. asked Alyssa to marry him and gave her a ring.
Yeah.
And so...
they set a date Friday.
Oh, they did?
For April.
April 13th. They chose 4:13 because Philippians 4:13 is his favorite verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So April 13th. So she's planning on being around.
Bob, would you come to the keyboard? We're just going to have some quiet music. Would you ladies group together here, because Gloria's not here today and Emma's not here today. Okay. I want y'all to know something. These ladies represent today the worldwide missions outreach of this church. And they're going to Peru. Three or four of the ladies of our church are going in January. And you know about their endeavor. We want to continue to pray for them. But here's what you may not know. Lolly Labuka, this church, who's never had a lot of money. We've never had a lot of money. Never. Ask Shirley. She'll tell you. She'll be glad to tell you. All right? And you guys just spontaneously gave $30,000, spontaneously, to build a church in a place that even the government of Ethiopia doesn't even recognize its existence. And y'all have seen pictures of the church. We got an email from Lolly this week. He has trained and commissioned two evangelists. Over 200 people are now attending that little concrete block church. But listen to this. There have been 1,235 testimonies of conversion among those tribes in Ethiopia. So here's what we want to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And we're going to close the service this morning with our prayer time and our altar call. Dave Alfrey, would you come and stand with Dave and Debbie? And here's what I'd like to, because of Bobby, she's in the hospital this morning. And what I'd like to invite you to do is this. It's just a very quiet, no pressure time to reflect and to pray. And I'm going to invite you to come forward for several reasons, but if you'd like to come and gather around Gary and Kim in prayer for Alyssa, you've heard this testimony, and gather around Dave and Debbie and Dave for prayer for Bobby and for Craig and for Eileen, or if you've got in your own life a physical problem, and you'd like to gather into a circle of prayer, because we're going to pray for healing to flow through by the power of the Holy Spirit to these that we've mentioned by name and to those that we've not been able to mention by name, and that may be you or a loved one. And we invite you just to come, and what you do is you come and just stand around these folks, and sometimes people put their hand on others' shoulder, and we pray. We pray for healing. Pray for this miraculous grace that Peter preached to these people who were suffering intently. And then if you're a person who just really senses the need in this country for revival and around the world, and you're thankful for these ladies who are going out to Peru, and you're thankful for what's happened in Ethiopia, and you're thankful for the report that Annette gave, what's happening in the Delta of Arkansas. And we want to see that continue. And we want to ask the Lord, how can we be a part? Lord, send me. What can I do? How can I give? What can I do to further the gospel? Then I want you to come and gather around these folks in prayer over here to my right and to your left, these ladies. And we'll pray for Lolly. We'll pray for the trip to Peru. We'll pray for the Brazil missions that continue to go on, the work down there. We'll pray for the personaires and others that we sponsor and support, the Arkansas Baptist Convention, so many things. So as Bob plays, would you stand quietly at your feet, please? And those of you who'd like to come and gather around in these circles of prayer, you come. And while they're doing that, if you've never been saved, you've never been born again, we invite you to come today to be saved. And here's how we want to ask you to do that. Just come and tap someone on the shoulder that's standing down here in one of these circles of prayer and say, I need to be saved today. I've never given my life to Jesus, but today I want to be saved. Or if you'd like to join this church, just come to the front row down here and we'll meet with you and we'll talk to you about church membership.